Life is an endless stream of challenges, but no worries. Manoj is bringing the world's best minds right here for you.
My gosh, Manoj, you just blew my mind.
Thank you, universe. Manoj, thank you.
I'm so grateful.
It makes me feel a little bit better.
Thank you.
Bootstrapping your dreams is here to give you what you need to succeed.
Hello and welcome to this new episode of Bootstrapping Your Dreams show. I'm your host, Manoj Agarwal, and today we'll be talking with Chris Warnes. So Chris is a serial entrepreneur, independent watch dealer, business coach, life mentor, speaker, and author focused on self-awareness, purpose, spirituality, mindset, leadership, company culture, and the true meaning of entrepreneurship. His work has been recognized locally, nationally, and internationally. After two tours in Iraq with the army, Chris was awarded the Purple Heart and now lives, breathes, and teaches the warrior mindset. His mindset is superlative. His companies operate from culture and core values that he lives by and represents. His methodology is a tactical approach that produces results for both clients and students. His care for people, discipline, accountability, sets him apart from all his competition. Chris is also known to many as CW, an eight-figure entrepreneur, highly successful figure in the fitness industry. In over 15 years, Chris has built six companies, including online fitness coaching, a full-service gym, real estate investing, Warrior Time, a full-service concierge watch dealer, Warrior Consulting, an industry-leading provider with a unique approach to life and business. And most recently, Chris has founded the Clark Initiative, a nonprofit organization for veterans' educational services. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm still getting used to listening to that.
No. It's not even close to what you have achieved in your life. And that's what I want to dive into. You have such a powerful story. I heard you speak recently. I was just captivated by your life, by what you stand for, and what you have achieved. So why don't we get into that and share a little bit of that story with our audience and tell us, how you got started and how you got here.
Of course. And of course, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So why don't you go ahead and share a little bit of your story?
Yeah, well, of course, I'm happy to share whatever you think is best. Is there any in particular point?
Well, if you can start a little bit about how you got into the armed forces and what kind of experience you had in Iraq and how it formed you into an entrepreneur that you are today. That would be great.
Yeah. So I didn't know. I didn't know in high school. I just found out probably about 3 or 4 years ago that I actually failed high school.
Really?
They passed me because they knew I was going into the army.
Ah. Oh.
Yeah. So I actually had a 59.5 my senior year of high school. How I found this out was probably about 3 or 4 years ago, it may have been a touch longer, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, one of my guidance counselors from high school randomly messaged me on Facebook. And she was like, "Hey, Chris, I've been following your journey. I need you to know that one of your teachers is dying of pancreatic cancer.
Oh.
You are the success story from the past couple decades. Would you be willing to record a video and send it to him?" I was like, "Wait, what? I don't even remember who this guy is, you know?" So, of course, I did the video. He was the one who failed me. Oh. It was his decision to either pass me or fail me. Oh. And he failed me. And I have since understood and remembered who he is. He was really hard on me, and for good reason. I was, I wasn't a stellar student. I'm an athlete. I'm still an athlete. Football, lacrosse, wrestling. That's what was important to me outside of partying and women in high school. Yeah. You know, academics. No, I actually never read a book my entire high school career.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And I've authored now several. So it's kind of like super weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, when I was going through high school, what a lot of people didn't know at the time was my father was dying of cancer.
Oh my goodness.
And it really angered me. And you know, I took it out on the sports field, and you know, I didn't really go to school. I kind of just partied. And my thought was, I'm going to enlist into the Army. This was 2003 when I was graduating high school. So the, you know, the Afghanistan war, the war in Iraq was going on. And, you know, I felt very called to serve, being patriotic. And I ended up passing high school, graduating high school. However, I decided to go to college for 2 semesters and I failed out with a cumulative GPA of 0.73.
Oh, wow.
I did not attend class or any of that. I just partied and ended up in the Army. And once I got into the Army, my goal was to get out and go back to college. Right. It was like this weird like turn in perspectives as I was 16, 17, 18 years old, now in the Army, like 19, 20, 21. I was like, I want to go back to college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyways, I got to boot camp in 2004 and then immediately was sent to the 101st Airborne, which is considered a rather prestigious division for the Army. There's a lot of history on that division, but the deployment schedule at that time was very fast paced because there was 2 wars. So everybody was going overseas. Mm. I had gotten to Fort Campbell and within 6 months I was in Iraq. And, you know, I still remember the first time I went on patrol in Iraq. And, you know, I think it's important to kind of specify these sorts of things. You know, less than 7% of the American population serves in the Army, serves in the military. Mm. Less than 1% of the military sees combat.
Mm.
So yeah, yeah. Being a combat guy and having a combat job, my first patrol, I'll always remember it. We got fucked up and we got hit hard. We got ambushed. It was an all out fight. And, that was set the tone for everything. I was like, holy shit. Like it's real. Like they're trying to kill us.
Yeah.
And you know, that's war. I mean, it's men killing each other for the most part. And, you know, that set the tone, super rough, a lot of fighting. Sometimes every day, you know, we were getting into fights and, you know, fights when you're in war are not beating someone up. It's with machine guns and mortars and bombs and, you know, you're killing each other. And that happens almost every day. And, let's see, 5-6 months in, my father died. So my father, my father died. So they flew me home, buried him, came right back. A month later, I was wounded real bad.
Wow.
Ended up getting the Purple Heart for that. A month after that, I got put in for this really high award with Valor. And a month after that, I should have been killed again. There was 3 days in the summer of 2005, the day I got my Purple Heart, the day I got a very high, I didn't get the award, but I was put in for the award. And, another day, there were 3 specific days I really should have been killed. But yeah, the powers to be, you know, decided that, that wasn't going to happen and I should stay here. I didn't know at the time that, you know, I was being left back here for more important things to do. But then I just was very grateful that I wasn't killed. And that was my first tour. I ended up going back for a second tour. And I was on my second tour. The Army asked me, at that point, I was Sergeant Warrens. And they said, hey, Sergeant Warrens, do you want to stay in? And a piece of me wanted to stay in. But the other piece of me initially went into the Army to get my schooling paid for. And I was now, you know, 24, I believe, and I was at a different place here. So I ended up getting out right at the recession, right in 2008. I got out and I was like, oh my God, what is going on here? I, you know, started going to community college, and it was vastly different. I sat in the front row. I read my books. I got straight A's. You know, I was the president of the Veterans Club. I was on honors, and then, you know, undergrad and grad school for
That's amazing. And then how did you then transition into business entrepreneurship?
So I didn't like mean to do it, as weird as that sounds. When I had first gotten out in 2008, right around that time, I had at the time my second serious girlfriend. And I was a security guard, like a bouncer at a nightclub on the weekends, because I was focused on going to school. And she didn't like that. She, you know, she basically gave me an ultimatum. She's like, hey, you either get a different job or I'm out of here. So I was like, shit, I guess I'm getting another job. Of course, she ended up leaving, but you know, I got another job, and that job was as a personal trainer. And I happened to be really good at it. You know, like the clients loved it. And long story short, the owner of this this gym had her younger sister as the general manager.
I see.
The general manager really wanted to date me. I was like, you know, I'm not interested. I'm here to work. She pulled me off the schedule. She was like bleeding me out. And I had addressed it a few times and it wasn't getting anywhere. So I went directly to the owner and I said, hey, your sister, this is what she's doing. She's like, can you prove it? And I was like, don't forget, iPhones had just come out. I was like, yes, look. And she's like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah, listen, I don't want any problems. I just want to work. The next shift, they fired me before I walked in the door.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know then I should have sued them for sexual harassment. But I was like, what, are you serious? And they're like, yeah, you're fired. I'm like, okay. So I got in the car. This is how my entrepreneurial journey started. I got in my car at the time. It was a 99 Dodge Dakota. It was a truck. And I drove 40 minutes to the gym that I worked out at, which was a bodybuilding gym. And I'm working out. I'm all pissed off. And the owner of that gym walks over to me. And he says, hey, Chris. And I'm like, what, dude? He's like, hey, one of your clients is here. And I'm like, I'm not a personal trainer here. He goes, no, one of your clients from your is here. And I'm like, what? It's like 40 minutes away.
So I
go to the front door and it's my client at the time, Larissa. She's like, hey. And I'm like, hey, I'm fired. I'm sorry. She goes, yeah, whatever. Can you train me? And I'm like, no, I'm not a trainer here. And the owner was standing there. He goes, Chris, you're a trainer, right? And I said, yeah. He goes, train your client.
Oh, I see.
And I'm like, all right. So I trained her. And, you know, afterwards I went over to the gym owner. I'm like, so what's the deal? He's like, well, we don't do employees here. We do 1099s. You can train people. It's, you know, you got to give me X amount of dollars or whatever you collect. Okay. And that started it. I just kind of started filling my own book as a personal trainer. And it wasn't great. Trust me. There were points that I would be at my basement apartment at this time of my life that water would come in when it rained because it was a basement.
Wow.
My truck was on empty. I had no food in the house. And I had a client at the gym that if I didn't close them, I wouldn't be able to put gas in my car or eat. And there were most of the times that I was in that position, I didn't close the client.
Wow.
And I'd have to borrow money from someone at the gym to put gas in my car and to buy rice to feed myself and my dog.
Yeah. Wow.
So that was how I started into entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Well, that's very, well, I mean, you know, a lot of people start that way, but that's quite a deep experience. Then now let me, you know, this is something that intrigued me. You know, obviously you have done really well in the fitness industry and all, but how did you get into watches and jewelry? Like that's a, you know, a little bit of a tangent coming from a hardcore army person like you. Like how did you have fascination with watches? Like how did that happen?
Yeah, so growing up, like I always wore a watch. I mean, it wasn't nice, you know, but it was a watch, and I always liked watches. If you fast forward from me not being able to put gas in my car, fast forward 8 years, give or take, now I had my own gym. I had 60 people working for me. I had 20,000 square feet. I had 3,000 customers, right? So things are vastly different at this point.
Yeah.
But my goal was to have my own gym, right? My goal in the Army, my dream was to go to college for free. Did that. Okay, great. As I was building my personal training brand, my goal was to have a gym. Got there, right? In my early 30s, I'm, you know, whatever. There's one of the awards right behind me. Best gym. Anyways, you know, long and short of it is, I started making money. You know, I was like 32. I was making like $500,000 a year net. You know, I didn't come from money. So I was like, holy shit, I'm rich. And I was like, I'm going to buy myself my first real watch. And I went to the Breitling store and I bought a $10,000 Breitling. I actually, this is 2017. I talked to the guy today that sold it to me. Now we're colleagues.
Yeah.
But anyways, and I was all embarrassed. Like I wouldn't let anyone see it. I would always like, you know, pull my jacket over it or something like that, or only wear it at home. But I got home and, you know, within a week or two, I went online and I was like, I just spent 10 grand on this watch and it's $4,000 online, brand new.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I call the guy that I talked to today. I'm like, hey, what is this?
Yeah. He's like,
oh, that's the secondary market. You can't trust those dealers. They're going to rip you off. You don't know if it's real. We're an authorized dealer. It's real and people trust us. And I'm like, wait a second. A different dealer could sell it to me $6,000 less. And you're saying that they might rip me off? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. So I did my research, and some watches like Breitlings, if you buy them from a Breitling store, they are worth 40 to 60% less as soon as you walk out the door.
Oh, wow.
Similar to buying a brand new car. Don't ever buy a brand new car unless you have fuck you money.
Yeah.
That first 4 years is the rapid depreciation rate.
Yeah.
Unless you like to lose money, never buy a car that's more than that isn't 4 years old. Anyways, watches, you just lose the money as soon as you walk out the store. So I started, I was like, whoa, there's courses on this. I want to learn how to do this. So I looked at my financial status and I said, all right, you know, I've got some money that I can invest. Like, I have two successful businesses. Maybe I should diversify. So I took a course, hired the guy that ran the course as a one-on-one mentor, and started selling watches. You know, I started with my friends, made $100,000 quick. Wow. And I was like, I should probably have a company. Opened an LLC. And that was 2017.
Nice.
Here we are, you know, many years later. And yeah, things are good.
Very cool. Very cool. And now let's talk about the Clark Initiative, because I know that's something that's very close to your heart. And it's a very, again, impactful thing that you're doing. So tell us a little bit about that, how it all happened and where it is going.
Yeah. By 2000, so the Clark Initiative is my 501c3. It's a nonprofit in veteran services. We teach veterans entrepreneurship for free. And it's completely volunteer. My entire company, not one person gets paid. Over 90% of the funds collected go directly to the end user. The only other 10% is just basic admin fees like IT, software, you know, Zoom hosting, stuff that, which is unheard of in the nonprofit industry, by the way. Usually it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. Usually less than 10% goes to the end user and 90% goes to the people that are working in the company. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, to include Wounded Warrior Project, St. Jude's, all of the major ones. Anyways, 2018. Now, so I'm kind of just fast forwarding you through my life. 2018 comes around and I'm at the point where everybody on Instagram is in my DMs asking me questions on how to get rich, on how to be successful, on how to open a company. And I can't keep up because I'm all about helping people. I can't keep up. So a couple of people suggested to me, they say, why don't you start a podcast, Chris? And I said, you know, it's a good idea. I'll teach right there. Mm-hmm. So people DM me. I say, I just subscribe to my show. So I did that in 2018. And I still, to this day, have it. It's top 5% in the whole world. A lot of people love it. It's great. You know, if to put it into perspective, there's like 3 million podcasts.
Yes, yes.
And being in the top 5% means you're better than 2.75 million podcasts throughout the world. I don't think I'm special. It just, I've been doing it since 2018. But the point is, I was teaching how to be successful, how to have a mindset, how to get out of your way, how to open a business, run a business, scale a business, which ended up in 2020 becoming a business. So another season of my life, I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to start teaching for money. I've been doing it informally for a decade. The podcast has been around for a couple of years. I'm going to start charging people to do it.
You are listening to Bootstrapping Your Dreams show with Manoj Agarwal. Businesses face numerous challenges like finding the right product market fit, determining the market size, implementing a winning go-to-market strategy, crafting customer-centric USP, competitive analysis, looking for funding, building up cash flow and profitability. We have made a lot of free resources available to the entrepreneurial community, including this podcast. We invite you to check out our websites and follow us on social channels. The links are in the show notes. We hope you find the resources useful and utilize them to grow your business. We also have some programs for entrepreneurs. If you find our content useful, then you will definitely find the programs outstanding. So do check them out.
Because they want me. So I start coaching people. All of a sudden, their lives are changing. businesses are opening, they're making money, they're successful, they're sleeping with their wives for the first time in years, and they're pregnant, and crazy stuff is starting to happen. And I'm like, ah, oh, should probably write a book.
Mm-hmm. So I
wrote a book, which kind of put me on the map. And then 2021 came around, and I said, I really want to give back more than I do. And at that point, I would give a lot of money and a lot of time. But I thought to myself, why don't I allocate it towards one thing rather than not knowing where the money and time is actually going? If I can control it, I know it's actually going to get put to use. So I sat my team down and I said, what do you think? And they said, why don't you teach veterans, Chris? You're a successful veteran. Why there aren't really a lot of successful veterans. Why don't you teach them how to do it? I said, you know, that's a really good idea. So we decided to do that. We filed for a 501c3. 6 months later, we got the approval from the IRS. Within a couple of months, I decided to ask my friend's parents to name the company after him, because that third day I discussed in Iraq, I should have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to go out on patrol and he took my spot. I got bumped off the patrol. He got killed that night in the seat that I was in. So I decided to name the company after him. I sat his parents down. I asked them and they said, absolutely, you can name the Clark Initiative after Sergeant Carlton Clark.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And here we are. Next week, we have our second event where we're teaching them how to speak. We're doing a speaker school. We're teaching a speaker school to a bunch of SF guys, SEALs, and bad motherfuckers. We're going to teach them how to actually speak. Speaker school. There's an art to speaking. I didn't know that until I went to one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, from what I understand, there are 18 million veterans in US, and a lot of them have obviously challenges adjusting to society, and especially if they are coming from war, and it sounds like you are doing some impactful work. Like, do you have any success stories from that initiative that you may want to share?
Yeah. There's a guy, Tim. I told you about Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Tim was in the Navy for 10 years, and then he was a contractor doing security in third world countries for 10 years. He had a salary of about $250,000. He was doing pretty well. Wife, kid, but he was, struggling from PTSD pretty greatly to the point that it was really hindering his life. Put on weight, became depressed, wasn't happy at home. And his wife, on a whim, booked him a retreat in Mexico to take mushrooms, for lack of terms, to heal his PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And he went. And immediately, on the spot, quit his $250,000 a year job, went home, told his wife that he's going to open a skateboard brand. He's going to make skateboards and sell them. And she's like, we're not going to be able to afford anything. Sold his house on the spot, moved in with his family, with his pregnant wife, a 2-year-old, and no business experience.
Yeah.
Within 30 days of doing that, the Navy SEAL Foundation, which is a nonprofit for Navy SEALs mostly, them and I are having a call. And I'm telling them, hey, this is what I'm doing. And they're like, oh, yeah? No one's doing that in the veteran community. And I said, yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I said, send me all your SEALs. Tim ended up being one of them. Within 30 days, he's in our curriculum. He is running every single play that we give him. The term that I use in my coaching is run the fucking play. So if I tell you to do something, that's a play to run. Go run it. Mm-hmm. Right? That's my style of coaching. I don't fuck around. If I'm going to sit here and I'm going to put my time into you, you're going to listen. If you don't want to listen, that's fine. You can go listen to someone else. Yeah, but if we're going to work together, you're going to listen and you're going to execute. Now, if you don't do it well, that's one thing, but at least you tried. I don't waste people's time or money. But the point that I'm getting at is he's running the play, every single play. And he started getting a lot of traction fast. And we have a phone call because, you know, he's special. You know, I could see that he's doing really well out of the class. And he says, Chris, listen, I'm working 18 hours a day. I never see my wife. I don't see my son. All I'm doing is working. And I said, okay. And he goes, can you help me? And I said, yeah, you taking notes? He's like, yeah. I said, number one, you're going to stop that fucking shit right now. Okay. Number two, right? Don't fall into the Instagram hustle culture bullshit. Okay. Number three, you're going to set a bedtime. Okay. Every night you're going to go to bed at the same time. Okay. And what you're going to do is you're also going to set a time where you're done with work. Maybe it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, whatever you want. You're going to pick that time. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to end work at that time. And in between that time and your bedtime, you're going to spend time with your wife and your son because your wife's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, are you sure? I'm like, not only am I sure, I've written a book on this called An Evening Routine. And then every day you're going to wake up at the same time, just like a child does, goes to bed at the same time, wakes up at the same time. However, adults seem to think that they don't need to do the same thing, even though that's the routine that they were raised in.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go as hard as you can all day until that time comes. And then you're going to spend time with your wife. And he goes, yeah. And I said, and you're going to gratitude journal.
Yeah.
Read chapter 3 in my book if you need a brush up. And I want you to start meditating.
He's like,
okay, yeah, I like meditating. I said, good. Perfect. Do you understand the place you're on? He's like, yeah, what else? And I'm like, no. That's it. He's like, you sure? And I'm like, not only am I sure, Tim, like I said, I wrote the script on it. Go fucking run the play. That was like a Thursday afternoon or something. Friday afternoon, something like that. Sunday morning, I wake up like 2-3 days later and this text message. Tim's like, hey, Chris, first things first, my wife loves you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I woke up this morning to $1,300 in orders overnight. It's my biggest day ever. I just wanted to thank you.
Nice.
I was like, yeah, bro. Hell yeah. Keep running that play. Yeah, that was 2-3 months ago. Yesterday, he texted me. Do you know who Marcus Luttrell is?
No.
Have you ever seen the movie The Lone Survivor?
Yeah, I think I've heard the name. I haven't watched the movie, I don't think.
Marcus Luttrell is the most famous Navy SEAL to ever live. There's a movie written about a movie called Lone Survivor. He wrote a book called Lone Survivor. Marcus Luttrell just hired Tim exclusively to be their main graphic designer. So Tim makes skateboards and puts graphic designs on it. Now, Tim, as of yesterday, is Marcus Luttrell's exclusive graphic designer.
Wow.
So, yeah, we have success stories and we have more of them. But you guys got to check this guy, Tim, out. His handle is at Berserker Bill. At Berserker Bill. Mm-hmm. Like Berserker, you know, like Berserker underscore Bill. The guy is just incredible. And 20% of everything he makes, he doesn't even have any money. 20% he donates back to the charity that saved his life and healed his PTSD.
Wow.
Yeah. 20% of every transaction goes directly to them.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. And one thing you mentioned, you know, this is very another interesting part. You brought up meditation, and I understand you also meditate and you're getting other people to meditate. So was this something that you were taught in the army, or you took it up on your own, or how did that come about?
Yeah, it's a good question. No, I wanted to heal myself. I think a lot of people might not know that the brain is very elastic. The brain can heal. The brain can change for good or for bad. Given my high levels of combat, I took a beating. My head took a beating with traumatic brain injuries, and I was diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. When TBIs and PTSD intertwine, it kind of like turns the human into not good things. Mm-hmm. This is why 33 veterans kill themselves a day, you know, 33 vets a day. And this is why veterans don't end up doing anything, because they turn into crap after. I was very aggressive when I got out of the Army, like real aggressive. And I was starting to get afraid that I was just going to fuck somebody up. You know what I mean? Like, someone steps on my shoes, done. Like cold cock, you're knocked out, maybe you die. Like I was just a loose cannon. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it. So I put myself in mixed martial arts. Like I started learning how to like put it in a controlled environment and like beat people up and stuff. And I did really well at that, but that's not the point. I ended up wanting to change myself. And I did a little bit of research, and I researched that meditation can change the neuroplasticity within your minds. And you can change the synapse path, the synapses of how and when information travels, rather than having trauma or blockage, you can change everything. Mm-hmm. So I went to the VA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and I said, hey, I need help. And they're like, yeah, you know, long story short, they're like, here's a whole bunch of medication. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever been to the VA, but the halls are filled with veterans numbed out, drooling on themselves because of the medication. Everybody. And I'm looking around and I'm like, I will not turn into that. So I said, no, I'm going to meditate. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh yeah, I suppose you could do that too.
Wow.
I was like, okay. That was 2010, 2011, somewhere around there.
Wow.
And I wasn't very good at it for 5 years. But within those 5 years, I stopped being so aggressive. Rather than losing my temper five times a day, it was four times a day.
Yeah.
And then three times a day. And then two times a day, and then one time a day. And now, the better part of a decade and a half later, I can count on one hand how many times I lose my temper in a year. It used to be all day, every day. And that was what I was trying to change. I didn't like how aggressive I was. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm still abnormally aggressive. I'm still extremely intense, but I've built such awareness of myself and of others through mindfulness and meditation that I could turn it on and off. And I don't turn it on much anymore because I don't need it. I'll tell you a quick story. 2 days ago, it's 7 o'clock at night. I'm laying on the couch. I'm getting ready for bed. I'm just sitting there in my boxers. And I see something dart by my door. And I'm like, you know, first reaction is pick up the gun. And then I'm like, Chris, you're in Connecticut. Like, no one's trying to kill you. Mm-hmm. So I put the gun down and I look out the window and I see what looked to be a man opening the gate to my backyard. And I'm so I have a pit bull. I was like, maybe I'll just let her out. It's gated in. She'll just tear his ass up.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's probably not the right idea. So I walk out in my boxers. I'm a big guy. And like, I'm in incredible shape. Like, I wouldn't want to come through that door and see me standing there. And I just walked in. I just put my hands on my hips and I'm watching him. And I see it's a kid. He couldn't have been more than 15. And he looks at me and he's like, I'm like, hey, man, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. My wiffle ball went into your backyard. I said, come on, get out of the backyard. Shut the gate. I said, let me ask you something. He's like, yeah. I go, did you even think to knock on my door? He's like, no, I'm sorry. I should have done that, right? I said, well, honestly, I was going to let the dog out on you and she would have tore your ass up. And I know you know that there's no chance of you doing anything with me. So one or the other, it would have been a really bad day for you if I wasn't paying attention. And he's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, take this as a lesson. If you're going to go on someone's property, knock on their door. And he's like, okay, thank you. And I'm like, now get the fuck out of here. I'm going to bed. And, you know, that 15 years ago, that dude would have gotten fucked up. Do you understand? I don't care. I wouldn't have cared that he was a kid. I would have felt threatened from my PTSD.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm like, oh, all right, I just got to teach this kid a lesson. But that's how far I've come. And that might not sound like a lot to some people listening. However, that's life-changing for me.
No, absolutely. I think it's a great testament to what meditation can do. Because I've talked to many veterans myself. I mean, I've been through multiple, not as intense experience as combat, but, you know, I've been through some stuff in my life.
You've been through trauma.
And,
You've been through trauma.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And meditation has helped me. As you said, like, I used to be aggressive. I used to be not very pleasant to talk to. And
you were aggressive too?
I mean, I'm not as big of a guy as you are. I'm not, I cannot afford to be as aggressive, but I was not very nice to talk to.
I understand.
So, thank you for sharing that. That's a great testament to what meditation can do. I highly recommend that to everyone.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to just ask the next question, but please go ahead.
All I was going to say was, I've read a lot of books, but now I read books. The first 20 years of my life, there's a really good book. It's called Zen Mind, Beginner Mind.
I've read that.
Really good entry level book on mindfulness.
Absolutely. So my next question would have been, like, you've done a lot in multiple fields. What are some of the lessons or some of the mistakes that you can remember that taught you those important lessons?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest mistakes that I've made have been my best lessons, right? And growing up, my father was very strict, and he was also a veteran. And, you know, mistakes were wrong. You know, I grew up in the 80s, as I'm sure you did. You know, the way that we were taught was, at least the way that I was taught, was mistake's a bad thing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Here I am, you know, almost 40 years old, and mistakes are a beautiful thing. And at this point in my career, I don't make as many mistakes because I've made them and I've learned from them. One of the most powerful things, and I'm not saying I don't make mistakes, I'm just saying it's seldom now because I've made all the mistakes. You know, the first decade in business is just mistakes. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, but unless you're an anomaly, but for 99% of us, your first decade's just a warm up. Anyways, one of the most freeing and most powerful things I ever learned was mistakes are a great thing. And, you know, I didn't invent the wheel, but I wrote about it in my first book, and I actually give an action plan on how to walk yourself through a mistake and learn from it, like a four-step process. And, because it was so pivotal for me to lose those limiting beliefs and adopt the growth mindset belief of, oh, I could be wrong and it's true. Okay. And I would say that is one of two most powerful things that I ever learned to be able to dictate even the entry level of success.
That's amazing. Well, this has been such an interesting conversation, Chris. I was really looking forward to it because I felt the intensity just by, you know, being in the same room with you and learned so much in that conversation as well and this conversation as well. So thank you so much. Now, before I let you go, can you tell us if people want to talk to you or they want to work with you, what is the best way they can get in touch with you?
I'm pretty responsive on DMs. Instagram is at @ChrisWarns_OG. My website is ChrisWarns.com. Those are probably the easiest ways to get a hold of me. You know, I'm on all the platforms, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, you know, whatever your flavor is. I'm just not on that bullshit TikTok and stuff like that. Like I don't get down with that. But anyways, feel free to reach out with me if I land with you. I'm happy to answer questions. It's not, you know, my intent isn't to close people into being clients. My intent is, can I help you? Like genuinely, can I help you? And now, if you guys got a question or anything along those lines, feel free to shoot me an email, go to my website or, you know, find me on IG and I'll DM you back.
Awesome. We'll put those links in the show notes. Sweet. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm Sarah, producer of the Bootstrapping Your Dream Show. This episode has come to an end. Don't forget to check out the episode show notes for the links to the resources mentioned in this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Until the next episode, goodbye. Keep going and keep winning.